So, talking about the world of conspiracy and the world of which we thoroughly enjoy getting our teeth into here, and the world of change and the world of waking people up, we want to introduce to our show officially Vinny Eastwood. Vinny, it's great to have you here on air with us.
Welcome.
It's somewhat fabulous to be here, I must say.
It's fantastic. So you've got a, hopefully we're going to help expand your audience, and we're talking down here to our audience down in Christchurch and the ones nationally and internationally that
and
listen
internationally.
To us. So those of you who don't know, quick introduction, Vinny runs, Guerrilla Media is the name of your company, you'd call it, Vinny?
Well, I don't really have anything that's incorporated as that, but it's easier to just say the VinnyEastwoodShow.com because... One of the lessons I learned really early on is that if you start something in partnership with another person, and if that other person isn't as dedicated to the truth and saving humanity from ruthless extermination by criminal sociopathic scum, you might wind up being left with a website that looks like crap that you can't change in any way, shape or form because it's too complicated, not user-friendly, and basically just sits there bleeding money dry with not enough that annoying the living crap out of you.
So that's not an analogy, is it? You're actually giving us personal experience there.
Yeah, and, which is why you instead go to the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in go ahead.
All right.
My news.
You got it.
Right.
There's the promo. VinnyEastwood.com. Fantastic. Yeah. All right. Yes, yeah, you can go. I want to hear about this man who's been doing this work for some time now. So yeah. You got some questions there, haven't you?
I do. So Vinny, welcome. It's lovely to have you on the show with us today. And I know that there'll be some people who don't know who you are and what you do, what you stand for, and they won't have seen some of the fantastic clips that you've done. And they may have heard that you had a bit of a struggle with your YouTube channel recently, which was changed. That was fantastic. But would you like to tell people what you do, what you stand for, and what your objective is all about?
Some people, when they try to make the world a better place, they do it because they want to. I don't do it because I really want to. I do it because I don't really see any option.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For some people, they say, you know, working as hard as I do, you know, you get up in the morning, you jump on your computer, and then about 11 o'clock at night or something, you go, oh, my God, I've been working like 14 hours straight. And people say, oh, man, Vinny, you must be working really hard. That must be really difficult. And I say, no, it's actually not. You know what's really hard, what's really difficult, and what's something that I find impossible to do? Getting in traffic every day, going to work 8 hours, selling BS to people I don't know and don't really care about, and making plenty of money to live, but not making anything that helps humanity survive.
Okay.
And dealing with a douchebag boss. And wankery workmates. That, in my opinion, is a lot more tough of a job than talking with some of the most enlightened people on earth, helping others when they're in their dire time of need, when the mainstream media will not listen to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've said for a long time, it's not a choice. It's a lack of options. It's just when you start to learn what's truly happening in this country, in the rest of the world, and as soon as you accept it, you don't really have any options left whatsoever. Like I made up a mental illness, you know, just like a psychiatrist does. I have just as much evidence that they do for the existence of a lot of mental illnesses, i.e. none. It's called employophobia. A fear of gainful employment.
Right.
And I can't do what people tell me to do anymore. Like, as soon as somebody tries to pay me to do something, I kind of, like, the hair goes up on my neck. As soon as somebody says, I'm going to make you famous, I'm going to give you a lot of money and stuff like that, and I go, ooh, you know? It's almost like success has become a suspicion to me if it's not something that I'm capable of providing myself. My cousin, Lucy Lawless, you know, Xena Warrior Princess.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I used to think, you know, I could get into the film industry and help that. And it's like, no, not going to happen. So it dawned on me that really, if you want to do something with your life, you have to be prepared to take full and utter responsibility. And what I was doing back in the day, I think around about 2004, was listening to a lot of Bill Hicks and a lot of American Patriot Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And what's funny is when you listen to the Americans complain about what's happening to their country, and you read the news here about what's happening in New Zealand, you think, oh my God, the exact same things are happening.
Yeah, a few years later, but it's still part of it. Vinny, a couple of things I'm really standing out in what you're saying is one, the words that come to me are heart activism, where you kind of you just can't help but have to do it because you feel it strongly inside. But you mentioned acceptance and the importance of accepting what you start becoming aware of, and we've talked a lot to people over time about this kind of process of waking up and how there is that real stretch that happens inside of people when they really find that shift in paradigm between the world they've been promised and the world that they're starting to see. And that acceptance seems to be a really big part of that journey.
Well, I think if you can't... What was it I was saying on my promo the other day? Some radio show hosts deal with it like, oh, my God, they're going to kill us with a radioactive bioweapon outbreak.
Right.
And other radio show hosts deal with it like, oh, why you resist, persist, so please don't oppose the ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. I'm sure they just want to be friends. You know, you don't have to be afraid of scumbaggery, and you don't have to ignore reality.
Right, yeah, yeah. That's the thing that I think is so important, is that with this process of waking up, that people learn they don't have to be afraid of it, because you can actually find power through it. And it sounds to me that that's one thing that's really happened for you, is that you've actually found a certain amount of personal power through deciding to take this path.
Well, I don't know. I think I've found hope and hopelessness, kind of thing. I like to live on a tightrope of a tightrope of irony,
yeah,
more or less. You know, so if you're constantly afraid of something, you have to make jokes about it so that you're no longer as afraid of it. Like, for example, last night at about 3 o'clock in the morning, something fell out of an old keyboard fell out of a cupboard in the hallway, and it was like real loud, like bang, in the middle of the night, just like totally woke me and my wife up, stressed out of our minds. And I just watched the Paranormal Activity movie series. and so the first thought of my mind was, yep, it's a demon.
Yeah. Oh, that's when you need Yasmin to come up and take care of your house for you,
yeah,
then.
Absolutely. They don't do that around me.
Yeah, I mean, I was cracking myself up laughing, you know, possessed by an evil demon. Yeah. And it's a thing, if you won't... What did I say earlier today on Facebook? It was something along the lines of, if you can't laugh at yourself, you won't remain a listener of mine for very long, because sooner or later, I'll make a joke about something you take too seriously.
Yeah, I'm hearing you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a sign of... you know, real, I suppose, in a way, maturity, in that yes, it is serious, but not so serious that it kills your sense of humour.
And I think that's the one of the elements that is most important in activism, survival, even people in conflict, in war, in war zones, that kind of thing,
yeah,
is this gallows humour.
Yeah, the gallows humour, yeah. Yeah.
Right, when the chips are down and when there's darkness, when there's no hope, there's actually something that can help you survive, and that's that release of endorphins, that relief, that levity that allows you to ease the tension and the fear of death.
I think that's really healthy, because, Vinny, perspective is vital, and because you're living this every day, this is not something you're doing part-time, and you're encountering a lot of different information that is very difficult for some people to be aware of or accept in their waking up, then some levity is really vital. So that perspective and seeing what is happening but what can we do about it is important. And that's what we talk a lot about here, is that, you know, there was... a couple of years ago, a lot of talk about the Occupy movement and the 1%. Mm. And, of course, there's a whole lot more of us than there is the 1%. So when we gain that perspective and we realise, as we all awaken, we have a lot of choice about accepting and recognising what we can do around all of these things that are happening?
Well, some people, when they talk to me, they think I'm pretty intense. I reckon that makes me very similar to the Occupy movement. They were intense.
Yeah, they were. But they
literally, yeah, well done, well done.
Yeah. Hey, what do you call a depressed motor mower?
Oh, forlorn. I saw it on your Facebook page. Checking on you today.
Forlorn.
I was like, I just thinking about, like, why do people still stay at war and conflicts that keep going on? And it's because they can't make jokes about it. You know, they can't have a laugh about it.
Well, that's the commonness of humanity. I mean, it's that people will come together. Humor brings people together quicker than so many other things.
Yeah.
It brings that one of those common chords.
Yeah.
Hey, Vinny, in this journey of yours, right? What I'm interested here, and I'm sure the listeners are, what would you say have been some of the moments that you've interviewed certain people, or you've actually delved into a certain area that's made you really go, oh my God, this is intense? Like what you've actually really come face to face with, whether it's information from someone or just in your own journey into the dark side of the net. What would you say are some of those real key moments that have really made you go, I have no choice here to keep going?
In the initial beginning, there were two things that stand out in particular. The first was the Gulf of Mexico oil cano.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of jolted me out of it because it was just like, ooh, corrects at 9500, one of the world's most powerful neurotoxins, biotoxins, everything toxin,
yeah.
And it's being dumped by the millions of gallons into the Gulf of Mexico,
right.
Contaminating all of their seafood, contaminating the oceans itself,
yeah.
And plus the oil cracking out under the seafloor. And I saw submarine footage taken by a person who worked with James Cameron on the deep sea diving missions called Anatoly Segalevich, and you saw the cracks in the sea floor miles and miles, up to 20 to 30 miles away from the wellhead where oil was just spewing out of the sea floor. And that made me realize that there is a big, big problem here, something that will, in fact, affect the world, will affect the food chain, bolt upright in bed. And I called my father that day. He's no longer with us, but I asked him for some money because I wanted to quit. I'd already quit my job, and I was working part-time looking after autistic boys, and I couldn't keep doing that, namely because I'd been offered a five-day-a-week radio show on American Freedom Radio, co-hosting with a man named Brent Johnson, the voice of freedom. This is how I kind of got into the American circuit.
Yeah.
And it just occurred to me that I could not, in the face of such disaster, in the face of such massive media cover-up of the reality that we were dealing with, I couldn't see myself working a normal job any longer. That was like a big aha moment for me. And the second one was the Fukushima thing.
Yeah.
And again, for similar reasons, you have a look at the satellite footage of the radiation levels that have been
detected,
quadrillions of dead sea creatures on the seafloor now, allegedly. The New Zealand government stopped testing for radiation levels in the seawater, like I think at the end of last year or even the year before that. We're not testing any of our imports for radiation whatsoever. We're not testing any of our seafood for radiation whatsoever. The U.S. had a 30% spike in stillborn deaths less than a week after Fukushima happens. All their radiation alarm detectors on the West Coast started going absolutely nuts with these huge readings. Mm-hmm. And so the government, in order to mitigate that factor, raised what the allowable level of radiation was officially.
So that's right. Yeah, they actually went, well, you know, we've decided that actually this upper level here is going to be safe still.
Yeah. I mean, It'll only melt the skin off your face, you know. What do you
It'll shorten your life a little bit, but it's gone really quiet, hasn't it? You don't hear anything in the media about Fukushima.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, it's an extinction level event, and it catalyzed one of my prime philosophies, was that I'm dead, I'm screwed, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it except have fun with it. Because my general philosophy has basically come about being that just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed?
Right. We could have a long discussion about that. Yeah. This is that balance between hope and hopelessness, isn't it, Vinny?
Well, you know, I live in hope and I live in fear, and it's kind of like I have an intense affinity for all spectrums of human emotion. And I think that if you try to block out these things that you don't like, you will also miss out on things that you need to be aware of, that kind of thing. And it's almost like you have to sabotage yourself and sabotage your own happiness so that you don't block out reality.
Yeah, that's the comfort zone that people seek all the time.
Well, I think we need to know that we've got choices, and if we don't have that information, we have no choice, so we're a bit stuck. I've got a really nice little quote I found, actually, about hope. It says, "Hope sees the invisible and feels the intangible." And I like that, because it's allowing you to really just recognise what exists even beyond what seems absolutely doom and gloom. And a lot of people are really allergic to fear. So they just don't want to know. If it frightens them, they don't want to know. So I think your approach, Vinny, in terms of adding some humour into it for yourself and others, is actually a really healthy one.
It's saved lives. There've been a number of people who've emailed my producer back in the day, or have communicated with me that they were about to commit suicide before listening to my show, and a number of people who have had lost all hope, and then they realised that there's something funny about having absolutely no future, and started up their own radio shows and YouTube channels. And,
is that right?
And it occurred to me that I'm a source of inspiration, and what that means is, in an egotistical sense of the word, is that I actually now, because I inspire people, have a responsibility to continue to do so, and to do so at even greater magnitude. Because if you realize that you can actually save people's lives by helping them think about things differently and helping them realize that there's a reason to live even without hope, even without faith, then you must continue to do it, and you don't have much of a choice, because it means that for every moment you cease the fight, for every moment you lose the compulsion to help others, people are dying.
Yeah,
I'm hearing you. It's what would you say at the moment? Let's bring things up to date a wee bit here. Of all the things that are going on at the moment, like there's a lot more talk about false flag operations. There's a lot more for those who are waking up and paying attention. There's a lot more willingness to challenge the mainstream media. What would you say are the big standouts at the moment that you have been kind of following threads of that you are seeing are clearly worthy of discussion and worthy of kind of exposing to the world, be it local or international?
Well, to be honest, I don't know. I don't follow the news.
Right, we don't either, so I'm a bit stuck.
Well, it's actually one of the ironic parts of my position, is because I'm producing so much radio and producing so many videos, I don't actually have the opportunity to read people's blogs, follow them on Facebook, listen to their radio shows. Watch their videos, listen to mainstream media. And so I'm sort of like in this bubble about what I'm covering is what I'm covering.
Yeah.
And so
Must be seeing a thread. You must be seeing threads, even with what you're picking up and following through. What would you say is in the consciousness starting to come through?
Well, there's an old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that we're dealing with today is merely a reflection of everything that people have been dealing with throughout the entirety of history. And number one issue for me, which I believe is the source of all the things that we need to be concerned about, is scumbaggery.
Technically that means?
It's the notions, the motives, and portents of a scumbag.
Right.
All right? So it seems to be the source for everything, and scumbaggery needs to be exposed as much as humanly possible. Now, it may sound funny, you know, the word scumbaggery, but scumbaggery is actually a very serious charge. You know,
I've heard you throw it at a few politicians in our country.
Oh yeah, and I take it very seriously. And what happens is you've got to look at any structure of society. Okay, so if you look at, for example, child, youth, and family services, or if you look at health foods being approved by the government and MedSafe and blah blah blah. Basically, it comes down to this. If scumbaggery is involved, whatever they are telling you is going on, it's probably directly the opposite. So if they say that they're there to protect your children from pedophiles, it means that they've got pedophiles working for them and they're going to steal your kids and give them to the pedophiles.
Right.
Yeah? If they say that we're trying to try and protect your food through food safety standards, what it means is they're going to make good food illegal and only make GMO things that cause tumours illegal. Yeah?
Okay, I'm hearing you. Okay. So what you're saying is that if anyone is trying to hold authority over your sovereignty to exist in a sort of a sense of a freedom to be yourself, then you've got to really challenge and question why they feel they have to bring those rules in.
No, not at all. What I'm saying is be cynical. As cynical as scumbaggery is, and you'll find out, quite depressingly, mind you, that almost everything you assume will be correct, right?
Okay.
I walk through the door one day, and my wife says to me, Vinny, did you hear there was a giant truck bomb that got defused at Times Square? And I go, oh, don't worry about it, baby, it was probably the FBI. And it was!
so you keep getting evidence to see that how you understand the world to operate is actually true.
I've become really bitter and cynical, just like a real journalist.
Oh, that's worrying.
But, you know, you've got to keep your sense of humour about it. And I think part of the thing that actually really concerns me is not necessarily specific news stories anymore. It's more like a general consciousness awakening and how people can actually understand themselves. And if you take yourself too seriously, you won't be a fan of mine for long, because I'll make a joke about something you take too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Hearing you. Just bring it back. You talked about the general consciousness. Okay, this is something, like, I'm in a similar position to you. Yaz and I, we don't watch the news and we don't have television and we pick up things here and there as we do, but there's like an ability to tune in to the consciousness and what's happening. And I often find that the most interesting information that you get is actually picking up the threads, the comments that people throw up against different posts. And I've been noticing something. You might be picking this up too, but you know, I pop onto Reddit or something like that, and I've been noticing how there is a shift happening in people's comments, say on the world news events or even the conspiracy field, things like that. And those are the things that get my attention at times. Do you notice that when you get a chance to see things?
It's really funny whenever one of my colleagues in the truth movement locally sends me a mainstream media article about fluoride or chemtrails or something like that, where they're just basically demonizing all the fluoriders and people who expose the chemtrails. You can see the comment threads of them just loaded with our kind of people just saying, actually, here's the evidence, here's the documents, here's the UN approval, here's the such and such, blah, 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 blah. And conversely, one of my colleagues from American Freedom Radio, Dr. Kevin Barrett, who's a professor in Wisconsin University, who was fired for exposing 9/11 truth. He wrote a fantastic article about how the people who toe the government line are actually generally more aggressive and insane than people who question it, like us. There was actually a relatively sizable study that was conducted on this upon about 7,000 blogs and web pages analyzing the general mood, demeanor, word usage, and amount of evidence that was coming across in comments.
Yeah.
And what they found was when a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist would comment, they would provide historical context, question things, and they would generally be polite.
Yeah.
On the other side, those people who toe the official government line would provide no evidence, no historical context, would lead with insults, abuse, and aggression and name-calling.
Make it personal, yeah.
And that's basically it. And somebody told me the other day is that that's the only defense that they have, because in the lack of facts, all you have is insults left.
Yeah, very true. And that's what I've been seeing. That explains very clearly what I see happen in these waves of consciousness that come across through that. And I think also, like, in the work we do, Vinny, working with people's sort of emotional and spiritual well-being, what we see is what happens when people are asked to change and when they're asked to change their perspective. And for some, there's a willingness to flow with it and go with it. And then there's a lot that actually fear rises up inside of them. And it's that energy of fear that becomes so aggressive.
I kind of adopt what Penny Bright has been telling me for years, is that you've got to do something every day that scares you. What occurs to me is that this really dovetails with a number of the other activists that I've interviewed over the years. One in particular, Paul Carruthers, who exposed the fraud and the setup of Alan Hubbard and South Canterbury Finance and the lies and the Serious Fraud Office being engaged in a serious fraud at the time, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says that after he went through all of this, after he tried to tell all the investors what was really going on and how they all said, oh, no, just keep your head down and let the criminals steal everything that was ours and let a number of the investors commit suicide because of the stress that they're under, because the government stole all their money for years and years and years, wouldn't give it back and sold it to Westpac Trust Bank.
Yeah.
As Simon Power, the Justice Minister who authorised the takeover, got promoted to as the head of corporate banking. That kind of thing. And what he told me was that you don't know how much courage you have until it is required.
Yeah, yeah. We've seen that down here with the quakes exposed that for people as well.
Yeah, definitely.
What the quake taught me is the direct opposite of what the Malthusian theory is. Malthus was a dude who believed that as soon as the resources run out or become scarce, everybody will start eating each other in a crisis.
Yeah.
And
guess what happened?
The direct opposite.
Exactly.
The direct opposite is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who haven't known each other, people who haven't met each other, who lived right next door for 10 years, suddenly knew each other. They suddenly had a reason to check up on the elderly. Mm. They suddenly had a reason to say, hey, do you want me to go down the store and get you some water?
A little bit of community. It was. Some people talk about it as the best 6 weeks of their life after the last major quake.
That immediate period. Yeah. And I think it's our humanity that comes out every time. It's really awesome.
Which is the hope.
Vinny, tell us about what happened to your YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah. Well, I made a six-minute video about the Prime Minister and his eclectic career of scumbaggery, going from financial trader to New Zealand traitor. And the government didn't like that. Somebody didn't like that. I got a whole bunch of complaints from it. It was probably the fastest growing views on any video that I'd ever had in my entire YouTube career. I've been doing it for about 7 years at the time. And it was a really well-done video, really good information, good facts, gotten from credible sources. And it was very, very short, so people were willing to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw it. It was great.
Getting like 1,000 hits a day, like boom, 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 boom. And then on the seventh day, rather biblically, my entire YouTube channel got put to rest. And I get up in the morning and check my email, and there's an email there from YouTube saying, this video you have done is misrepresentative, or it could be spam, or it could be abuse, or it could be copyright infringement, and we're deleting it. And you go, oh, you bastards.
Wow. Yeah.
And then it seems like only a few hours later, I try to log into my YouTube channel and there's nothing there. And I look at my emails and it says, your YouTube channel has been deleted permanently. You cannot appeal this. You cannot say anything. You cannot do anything. It's gone. Burgers. And that's it. Full stop. Comma, comma, end off, roll of the page.
Wow.
And I was like, that's like 7 years of my life.
Yeah.
It's the number one most subscribed YouTube channel that delivers news in New Zealand history. I've got 60% more subscribers than the New Zealand Herald TV does.
Right.
They've been around for 150 freaking years. Yeah. And they delete me! Oh, my God!
What was your first response?
I kind of fell out of my office chair and I lay on the floor for about 10 to 15 minutes, just sort of contemplating what the new direction in my life would be.
Yeah.
it's kind of like, you know, when you lose your job, and it's the best job you've ever had, and it's the one you've worked at for the longest in your life, and it's something you actually really like. I've earned my stripes. I have done what nobody else has done in this country's history. Mm. I've got more protests and public meetings on that YouTube channel than anybody else, more than New Zealand On Air, more than anybody, you know, available publicly for free, full speeches, the whole nine yards. Nobody's even come close, because nobody's ever really bothered to attempt it.
No,
you know?
No.
Kind of like the Guinness World Book of Records, you know, who can swallow the most whole boiled eggs or something. There's no point attempting it, and so somebody winds up getting the record because nobody else can be bothered challenging it.
So you ended up with, like, a historical record of particularly the last 8 years of what's been really happening in the background of New Zealand life.
Yeah, and they deleted it because of my, they deleted all of it. There was 3,000 videos on there, give or take, 2,914 videos.
Wow, so I went from dropping the video to deleting your whole channel.
In 6 days.
Right. Sad. And so you contacted InfoWars, or what did you do for help?
I contacted InfoWars, I contacted Mark Dice, I contacted every single truther that I could conceive of, both in New Zealand and abroad. And they all sent emails to YouTube, and YouTube all sent them back a standard response email saying that you can only appeal this if you were actually emailing us with the email of the YouTube channel that we deleted. So I emailed them with that email, and I got an automatic response saying, we don't accept emails from this email.
Because it's been deleted.
And in order to communicate with us to appeal your deleted YouTube channel with your deleted email, you need to sign into your deleted YouTube channel
and send us
an email with your deleted YouTube channel email address, and then we won't respond to that either, because obviously you can't sign into your deleted YouTube channel with your deleted email address. It's like the worst catch-22 you've ever seen. So more or less, I was kind of starting to come to terms with it. It was quite funny. I came down to Queenstown. One of my listeners, Chris Wardell, who's had his daughter and basically his wife died, and then SIFs and a number of high-profile pedophiles that have gang connections, including connections with lawyers and appeal court justices and things of that nature, tried to take his daughter from him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the worst kind of pain and suffering and trauma that any father could go through, or any person for that matter. And he bought me a plane ticket to go down to Queenstown, and I flew back on November the 5th. And as I get out of the airport and my wife picks me up, she goes, Vinny, I think they've put your YouTube channel back up. And at first I didn't believe it. Just like, what do you mean? You know, you went to my channel and it didn't say this channel has been removed with nothing. And she's like, no, it looks like it's back. And this huge kind of like wave of uncertainty kind of washed over me because I'd actually kind of come to terms with me having to start again.
Yeah, sure.
And I, in the 2 months that it had been deleted, and this was, it got deleted 2 weeks before the end of the election, mind you.
Yeah.
What a convenient time.
And very interesting time.
I started producing a couple of New Zealanders. I started producing Ben Vidgen from the Postman Show, does the Postman Gazette down there in Dunedin.
Yeah.
And Paul Carruthers, who exposed the Alan Hubbard affair. And I was actually starting to kind of get into this role of not being in front of the camera anymore, not being really on the microphone anymore, not having a radio show, not doing a YouTube channel, but actually using these skills and these connections and the best practices that I've learned over my nearly a decade doing alternative talk radio and YouTubing to help others that have the talent to actually do what I'm doing but have not had the support that I obtained from a lot of my American brethren. I had an American producer, I had an American network.
So it's great. So you've actually been able to really, really start passing on everything. It's like another shift in your work. So is that carrying on, even though the Vinnie Eastwood show's up and running, is that part of your new development carrying on?
I made a promise to these two men that I would produce them, organize their guests for them, that I would edit their shows, that I would upload it to my website, that I would give them a platform every week to say their piece and interview whoever they want in whichever way they want to do it. And we have not missed one week of broadcast yet.
Fantastic.
And there's an eight-step plan from doing your pilot episode through to doing everything yourself, having your own site, having your own editing software on your computer, and how to organize everything that I'm very, very slowly taking these guys through. And the idea behind media longevity, and this is the lessons I've learned the very, very hard way, is that if you're reliant on others for the production of your content, there is too many balls juggling in the air, and if somebody decides that they are no longer as committed to the cause, if they lose their hope, if they lose their spark, that means you will be affected by that. You will lose out. You won't have somebody turning up to ensure that your show keeps getting produced and put up on the internet, that kind of thing. So
that's what we teach people about all the time. You know, you've got to have the energy to follow things through. You can be inspired. You can come up with great ideas. But if you don't have the energy to follow it through, it will fade away.
Well, it's self-reliance. And I've said to people for a long time that, you know, they come up to me and go, oh, Vinny, I want to do this, I want to do that. Can you help me with that? And I go, well, asking for help is, to be honest, your first big mistake.
Right. Because,
thinking that you need others' help to begin.
Yeah.
Often you don't need help to begin. You merely need help to continue. And Ben and Paul, they are men that I respect greatly. I mean, Ben's an author. He's a researcher, unlike any other in this country that I've ever had the privilege to interview. And it just occurs to me that somebody of such talent and being able to bring out information the way that he does, despite his gargantuan dyslexia problem, he's just brilliant at what he does, and he doesn't need help to continue doing what he's doing per se, because he keeps on writing all his articles, he keeps producing new books. He simply just needs a hand once a week for an hour, just for somebody just to record something across Skype and publish it.
These guys, for the listeners, they'll be able to find out more about these guys on your VinnieEastwood.com.
If you go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, on the top bar there, you'll see two tabs, the Postman Show with Ben Vidgen and the Independent Kiwi Hour.
That's fantastic.
You can listen
to either of those two guys once a week.
Yeah, it's great because it's good for people to know that there are others in New Zealand who are talking about truth and have information and have a perspective that will really speak to them, Vinny.
Well, I had this philosophy, I think, in my second year of talk radio in America. I can either gain 100,000 listeners for myself, or I can gain 10 people 10,000 listeners apiece and still do the same amount of damage to the New World Order and have 10 times the amount of sort of walls up, taking out one person and depressing one person and undermining their support base, not that difficult to do. Doing that to 10 people, on the other hand, much, much harder.
And that comes back to the fact that there's more of us than there is of them.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's necessarily about that. I think it's more about we can, if we choose to, make more of a difference than a million other people by ourselves. Right.
Mm.
So, you know, I say to people in a fairly arrogant way, but I feel like I've got justification for my arrogance and wankery because of who I am, because of what I've done, because of the amount of work that has gone into building my career, into helping people and exposing copious quantities of scumbaggery all day, every day. There is nobody else in this country who comes anywhere near to accomplishing what I've done.
And you clearly make an impact, Vinny, for them to want to shut down your YouTube tube. I think that's your channel. That's really quite telling, in fact.
Would you say that's been your biggest threat so far?
No, that's actually been the biggest boost to my career in nearly a decade.
Right. But when I say like, you know, the actual a personal kind of attack on you, have you experienced any other things where you've felt like things have been getting quite hot?
I don't know. I think it's more like I've come to terms with failure. I've come to terms with death. I've come to terms with fear. I've come to terms with depression and hopelessness. And I think that it speaks well of us that even if my belief happens to be that I'm screwed and I'm going to die and we're not going to beat the New World Order, every single day that I refuse to accept that reality, every day that I resist it is another day of victory. And I have 364 days of victory per year, minimum.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. And that's the voice of empowerment. Vinny, we're going to be coming to the end of this segment of the show, actually. I just want to know, Yaz, is there something you want to ask?
No, you're good.
What would be the thing that you'd like to let our listeners know, the thing that would be, you know, empowering and supportive for them that you've kind of come across on your journey with this transition that we're in, this time of immense change and coming face to face with the New World Order that is actually deeply controlling things?
Three words.
Mm-hmm.
Quit your job.
Stop paying them, right?
No, it has nothing to do with not paying them. It has to do with how many hours a day are you sitting there doing somebody else's work for something that doesn't inspire you, empower you, or make you a better person or change who you are, right? Versus how many hours a day that you're actually sitting there creating new content to add into the pool of everybody else.
Yeah.
It's talking about creativity with somebody who wants to be a rapper, right? And I asked him, bro, how many hours a day do you sit down there consuming other people's content, watching TV, playing video games, listening to music, versus how many hours you're actually spending creating content in order to add to that pool?
Yeah, okay.
Now, my last job that I had $4,000 after tax and $11,900 worth of Westfield shopping vouchers, and that was a month's work. Okay, I could be very, very wealthy right now if I wanted to. The thing is, I couldn't, right? I couldn't keep working, not knowing the things that I know. I couldn't keep doing things that were meaningless and placating myself with alcohol and weed because I could afford it.
Yeah.
I had to quit. And I called up my friend John Eisen from Uncensored Magazine this one day, and I said to him, man, I really feel like quitting my job. He told me to ask myself one question. I'll never forget this because it's really important. Does it feel right? And it did. It did feel right.
Well,
had I not taken that leap of faith, had I not gone through those years of suffering and torment and poverty, I would not have obtained the confidence nor the ironic humbleness that it takes to actually be an effective talk radio show host and an effective activist. And indeed,
so I think we're going to have to wrap things up shortly, but I think the key words I heard you say there was, does it feel right? And that's I think probably one of the most important messages to really give out to the listeners, that this is the thing they have to learn to trust.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best piece of advice I got from a talk radio show host is, number one, drink, because if I didn't drink, I would have gone completely nuts. And number two,
hold on, that's
money.
What just happened there? That wasn't me.
Something's going on.
Something is, let's just take that down.
We'll take that down.
No worries.
The computer jumped on without my permission. hey, Vinny, look, I'm fortunate we do have to wrap the show up, and it's been fascinating listening to your story. And everything that you've been going through, and like it feels like we could have easily filled in another 5 hours with what you've had to go through and share. And we haven't even touched on some of the actual specifics of the New World Order.
But it's been really lovely to have you with us today, Vinny. Thank you very much.
Well, danke schön.
And we'll keep an eye on things and watch your progress with interest.
Okay, well, if anybody wants to support me by subscribing for $5 a month just to support my operation, go to the Vinny Eastwood Show. kiwibank.com and start up an auto payment today, either into the Kiwi Bank or through the PayPal.
Fantastic.
I'll just keep exposing scumbaggery as I do.
Good man. Put that post up on the Memento one. I know you share your stuff there, which is great. So just drop that in on the top tagged page. Vinny, best of everything with your continuing work in activism and exposing scumbaggery.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, not a choice.
Go well, Vinny. Thanks so
much. Take care. See ya. All right, you've been listening to Vinny Eastwood from The Vinny Eastwood Show. He is the voice of activism in New Zealand, and he is a man with a lot to say, which is very validated considering he's buried 10 years of his life into helping wake us up to
And this is what he does every day.
Every day.
This is his life.
Very much. And we've got a wee taste of that, of the passion and the energy that drives that man, which is a wonderful thing.
It is. And it has to feel right. That's our motto. That's what we go on all the time.
So talking about what we go on, tonight you've got your class.
Spirit Path, absolutely, at 7:30. So if you want to learn how to listen to yourself and those who guide you just a little bit more, come along to Pasha, 6 Elgin Street, tonight at 7:30.
And what I'd also just add to, you know, Vinny's conversation about the balance between hope and hopelessness is that I suppose we come in with a slightly different angle with some of this as well, and that is that there is a lot of reason to have hope, particularly when you learn about the shift between the mind and the heart, moving from a world of logic to a world of feeling. And when this happens, the energy that you can access to feel part of this change that's happening is truly worthwhile. So there is a lot of reason to have a lot of hope, particularly if you make it about your personal journey of awakening.
Yeah, I think that's the one we're all going to follow. And it's been wonderful to have you listening with us today, and we look forward to being here again in 2 weeks' time.
Which we'll have Raman on air again. And you can send your questions in. And Vinny, if you want to, you can send your questions in
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. It's really, really been lovely. It's been great today. So take care, everybody, and we will see you again in 2 weeks.
And stay close to your feelings and keep listening to your heart.